You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
A typical reaction of people today to the most extraordinary disclosures is, "So what?"
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, our Father in heaven, we need your living presence among us to keep us from falling apart. Restore to us the joy of your salvation in Jesus Christ our Savior. Warm us with your love, your unchanging and never-ending love in Jesus who died for us. Amen. We live in a so-what world. A typical reaction of people to the most extraordinary disclosures is, "So what?" To public and private immorality, people say, "So what?" To the most recent landings on the moon, people respond, "So what?" To any demand for commitment of any kind, people are most inclined to answer, "So what?" Whenever somebody talks about God, millions of people come back with, "So what?" This kind of indifference is usually looked upon today as a sort of benevolent neutrality. Actually, it is hostility, probably the coldest kind of hostility there is. It is a form of violence, an expression of deepest resentment, cloaked in words that seem to say, "I don't care," but actually mean, "I am not interested and nobody is going to get me interested." The Spirit of God has something to say about that. He is direct. And his words are unmistakable. "I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth." It is fashionable these days neither to affirm God nor to deny God, to be neither religious nor irreligious, to claim some kind of faith, and to live as if it doesn't make any difference what kind of faith it is. The characteristic gesture of this in-between kind of thinking and living is a shrug of the shoulders. Its slogan is, "So what?" Martin Luther made a remarkable statement which will probably shock some of his pious friends. "Nobody in this life," he said, "is nearer to God than those who hate and deny him, and he has no more pleasing, no more dear children than these." No one has ever accused Martin Luther of being hesitant in his language. He did not hesitate to exaggerate in order to make a point. Luther was not saying that the atheist is closer to God than the believer. He was saying that anyone who shows enough interest in God to deny him is closer to the kingdom of God than a person who has no interest in God at all and no concern about the great realities of judgment and salvation. The same thing goes for people who affirm that they believe in God, but go on living as if they do not believe. In fact, make it quite clear that they do not believe. They want to be on the safe side, and that is no safety at all. Faith is good, they say, but not too important. Prayer is good, but only as a last desperate resort. People who play it safe cover all their bets. They might even pray to God, but except for dire emergencies, they don't really need him. Probably the greatest weakness of the church in our world is that so many people who claim to be members of the church are lukewarm. They are neither hot nor cold. You can't get them excited about anything. They just go along. The world sees all of this very well. It often sees it a lot better than people do who are in the church. Lukewarmness turns off a lot more people than any other of the conspicuous weaknesses which the church may have. Lukewarmness is death in action. The lukewarm church presents to the world all the pallid unattractiveness of death itself. "Would that you were hot or cold," said the Spirit to the church at Laodicea. "I know you well. You are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were one or the other. Since you are merely lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth." Not so long ago, people were writing the obituary of God. They said, "God is dead." Looking at some of the people who claim to be for God, you would almost think they had a point. They hate just as other people hate. They are selfish just as other people are selfish. They quarrel just as other people quarrel. They are bitter just as other people are bitter. They knife one another just as other people knife each other. They curse just as other people curse. They show no more love than other people do. If that's what God does for people, he must be dead. The Spirit of God wants us to know that God is not dead. Faith may be dead, but God is not dead. People may take him for granted, but he is not dead. The conventional church may take a so what attitude, but God is not dead. Piety may try to cover a multitude of sins, but God is not dead. "The good and gracious will of God is done in the world," said Martin Luther, "even though people do not pray. When we pray, 'Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven,' we are simply asking that God, who is alive and well, will do his own gracious thing among us also. But he will continue to do his thing, whether we pray or not. It may not be among us, but it will be somewhere in this world of ours. He is God, and he is not dead." Martin Luther had his own moments of doubt. And the best of Christians are ready to admit that there are times when they have denied their faith. What got Luther excited was that conventional piety, that studied indifference, that cool and collected disinterest, about which the Spirit said to the church at Laodicea, "I know you. You are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. Since you are neither cold nor hot, but only lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth." Conventional piety issues no challenges and makes no demands. It continually reassures the lukewarm and constantly reinforces the hostility toward God which lies underneath that lukewarmness. The religiosity and self-righteousness of the uncommitted, the undecided, the unchallenged, the untroubled, the untried middle shuts out God and effectively treats him as if he were dead. If that is the church, it becomes a place where a man makes his last stand against God. Lukewarmness turns the church into a place where people simply bolster their own self-complacency. It sanctifies their old question, "So what?" This is the ultimate in unbelief. The Spirit said to the church at Laodicea, "You say, 'I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing,' not knowing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. You say, 'I have everything I want. I don't need a thing.' You don't realize how spiritually you are down and out, helpless and dead. There's nothing routine about God. He has his own way of doing things. He sends his own Son into the world to rescue the world. The Son becomes a man like us. He dies a death like ours. He does it all for us, because God wants him to do that. For that, God gives him a name and sets him on his throne at his right hand. And that Son is Lord. Jesus Christ, the Lord, commands our faith. He wants people to get excited. You can hear the Spirit of Christ talking. My advice to you is to buy pure gold from me, gold purified by fire. Only then will you truly be rich. And to purchase from me white garments, clean and pure, so you won't be naked and ashamed. And get medicine from me to heal your eyes and give you back your sight. I continually discipline and punish everyone I love. So I must punish you, unless you turn from your indifference and become enthusiastic about the things of God. Look, I've been standing at the door, and I'm constantly knocking. If anyone hears me calling him and opens the door, I will come in and fellowship with him and he with me. I will let everyone who conquers sit beside me on my throne, just as I took my place with my Father on his throne when I had conquered. Those who can hear, listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Listen, churches, to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. God does not shrug his shoulders. He does not ask, so what? That's not his kind of language. He is for you. He wants you to be for him. If you can't be for him, at least have the honesty to be against him, but not lukewarm. A friend wrote to me recently that she and her husband were on their way home from the convention of laymen who sponsor this broadcast. They had dinner at a restaurant, and some men in the booth next to them were talking. One of them said that he would like to believe in God, but he couldn't. It was an honest expression of unbelief. My friend and her husband paid their bill and left the restaurant. Outside, her husband said, "I think we should have talked to those men." They went back in and did. The man repeated his feelings about God, passionately troubled about his unbelief. My friend's husband remarked, "You are not far from the kingdom. Seek and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you." And then he told about his faith in Jesus Christ, how real God was, and how real God is to them, to his wife, and to himself. After these two got back to their room at the motel, they decided to have a swim before retiring for the night. There, in the swimming pool, my friend's husband died of a heart attack. The last thing he did was to prove that you don't have to be lukewarm. That's not the way. Lukewarmness earns the respect of neither God nor man. Children play a game where they hunt for something hidden by their parents. We do that at Easter time, with eggs hidden in various parts of the house. When the children are far away, we say, "You are cold." When they get close to the hiding place, we say, "You are hot." To get spiritually hot, you have to get close to God. The way to get close to God is to come close to Jesus Christ. To come close to Christ is to take him in as a friend. He knocks at the door, your door. He offers fellowship to you. He wants to be a member of your family, and he wants you to be a member of his family. He wants to forgive you and to live with you. That's Jesus Christ, and that's God. That's life. Life with Jesus Christ is exciting. It is joy. It is rich. It is believing the good news of God in Christ, the best news you will ever hear. It's accepting God's forgiveness in Christ. It's to be sold on Christ and to be a witness for him. It's commitment to Christ. That's what the world needs today. Our world needs people who know in whom they have believed and have confidence in him, that he is able to keep whatever they have committed to him against the day of his appearing. It's having what John Wesley had that day when he gave his heart to Christ and said, "I felt my heart strangely warmed." Amen.